Hello everyone, welcome to today's session of Markets Monday. It's 8th of November 2021. My name is Felix Ocheng, and as usual on Monday, we sit down, we talk about various information, various data that is coming in through as we look on to how the financial markets are performing, how last week was, and what is the possibility of, you know, of the markets moving in at a certain level or whichever direction that they have for the week. Today's session will technically be looking at a lot of stuff. The first one would be Equity Group Holdings has released the financial statements and for the third quarter. Very impressive on the top line for the group, but we'll also be looking at just how the other subsidiaries are performing. There's a lot that Equity Group CEO James Mwangi has mentioned in his address today, and also coming in from the entire Equity Group and everything else that is coming in onto play. So literally, that's what we'll be talking about. We'll also be looking at how the markets performed last week, how the markets will most likely be performing this week. What are the things that are causing any direction on the various stocks that are listed both locally and also globally? And we'll also be telling you why PayPal Holdings is one of the stocks to watch out for this week. Joining me for today's session is
Mwakanenu Gakweli, host of the We Are Curious show and guest in Markets Monday.
Very interesting. So yes, Ali, I think, you know, Equity Group has come in hot with the financials. It's an interesting bit because we're seeing Equity post an almost positive return in every aspect. Looking at it from the profit before tax, the after-tax profit, the net income for the company, the total income, the loan loss provisions, the growth in the loan book. So we're looking at a positive return for the company. But also, I think one thing that guys really need to look at is that the loan loss provisions were down 68%. So it's a very interesting bit for Equity. We know that a lot of guys and a lot of investors are probably now jumping into Equity. And Equity is up about, checking this on the HISA app, and Equity is up about 4.21% to 52 shillings.
That's just for today.
Yeah, that's today. So if it was that day trading bit, guys would have the net return. If brokers would be charging 2.1%, then, you know, it's now about, you've already made your, actually, you're just breaking even at this time with Equity. So unless the bank continues to, the share price will continue to rally. But to give you guys the figures, Equity Group is now trading at 52 shillings after the financial results came into place. And guess what's hitting on it, Ali?
What?
Housing finance. And that is because earlier on today, there was an article by the Business Daily that was actually putting Equity Group. Actually, it mentioned that Equity Group has said that they're interested in buying back their stake, about 24% in housing finance. So I really don't know what's happening. And also, one thing, guys, remember that there's neither statement from there's no statement from both the two parties involved. That's HF Group and also Equity. So you're probably trading on rumors right now if you're buying housing finance or if you're buying Equity Group based on that information. So, and that's always one of the reasons why, one of the things that we always tell you at every single moment, it's always about you as an individual doing your own research before you can be able to, you know, place these trades. So that's technically one thing that I know we are looking at as investors, as individuals. And we'll keep you guys posted as long as there's more intel on that, because as of this time, I think it's more, if we should treat it as a rumor, it was on the Business Daily today. And one of the things, let me just read what it says, guys, because it says Equity Group is looking at buying back its stake. So I think it's more of a concern. It would be a good thing for investors, you know. I think technically this is going to be a plus. Ali, what do you think? Do you think it would be good for Equity to rehold back its holding in housing finance? And technically, what would that mean for the banking sector? Do you think it's a good thing, or it would mean Equity would monopolize the banking space?
I don't know. I really don't want to comment much when it comes to HF, given again, we do not have any definitive positions from both HF and HF and Equity. So I think I want to hold back my tongue a little bit. But then what really caught my attention when it comes to Equity results, of course, is apart from the movement that we've seen, mainly because we've seen changes when it comes to loan loss provisioning compared to, you know, the time when COVID was up, was the slight jump in the bank's loan book. I think we're now at, the net loans of the bank rose by around 23% to 559 billion, which, and we've seen the bank rake quite a lot of money when it comes to net interest income. I think we had a rise of about close to 10 billion shillings, which could be partly because of, you know, the removal of the interest rate cap for the loans that we've seen over the past 1 year. What do you think?
Yeah, pretty much interestingly, I agree with you. One of the main reasons, guys, and when we're talking about the stake that Equity is looking at on HF, it's also because earlier this year we saw Britam Holdings PLC, which has the majority stake in HF, actually say that they're looking to sell. So Britam has about 58.2% on housing finance. And I know for a very long time, Britam has also attributed the value of its listed securities, you know, the value of companies that it has in listed securities. And so we've seen that decline for a very long time. Britam bought HF at a very high price. And so some of the stake really came into various investment partners. We've seen a lot in terms of growth for Britam. And so now they're looking at exiting a bit of HF. If you're an investor in housing finance, they know that the value of the stock has gone down for a very long time. Over the past 10 years, I think HF has been one of the worst performing bank stocks listed on the Nairobi Securities Exchange. And so it's a time technically when you know, we're looking at this as an interesting opportunity for the bank, but also a very good thing. I think this would bring in a lot if Equity were to take in or to actually buy a whole, the same way KCB did with, you know, the same way KCB did with National Bank Ali.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would bring a lot in terms of just restructuring the company, because I think HF's business model, it's good because they're focusing on a very interesting aspect of the economy. But because HF primarily has been, they've always been looking at themselves as a mortgage lender, right?
Right.
And so if this aspect or if this area can actually be seen or can be, how do you put it? If it can be channeled to the main business, how the model has been, then I think HF can actually jump back into massive profitability. I really think that this is the time when HF would actually be the main bank to actually partner with, what's the company? Kenya Mortgage Refinance Company? It's always like Kenya Meat Company. It's called Kenya Meat Commission, so like KMRC. But then this is now Kenya Mortgage Refinance Company. So yeah, guys, so that's technically one thing that I think would be good for HF. But in case you're wondering, Housing Finance Shares is the top leader on the Nairobi Securities Exchange right now. HF Group is up 8.64%. So,
guys are reacting to the news.
NSE had brought in that day trading and brokers were still charging their 2.1% or their 2% that they're charging, your portfolio would probably be up. You'd probably have about 4%. So, yeah, interesting bit. And we'll just be following that up. HF Group opened the day at 3 shillings and 85 cents, and it's now trading at 4 shillings and 15 cents. So yes, the high for today is 4 shillings and 18 cents. That means HF has actually been up about 9% during today's trading session. The volume for the company as at this time is 128,900 shares traded with a turnover of 535,960 on the main market at the Nairobi Securities Exchange. And in case you're wondering, this data is available for you on the HISA app. You can definitely be able to get it. Watch on to the stock price performance, how it is, and also receive various notification alerts regarding the stocks that you're following with on your portfolio. So literally an interesting opportunity for you as an investor. But I think it would also be an opportunity for you to just see how guys would always. I don't know if I would say that this is an opportunity for guys to. Guys are buying because of the fear of missing out. I don't know how long HF can rally. Remember, this is not the first time we're getting news about various information about Equity and HF Group. There was a similar rumor, I think, about 2 years ago in 2018, mid-2018. That was 3 years ago, right, Ali? Yeah,
yes.
mid-2018, about 3 years ago. It saw HF Group shares also move up a bit, but looks like that was a temporary jump. And that's one thing that I would encourage you, unless we have this as an official statement from the two companies regarding their interest to do this transaction, you might want to do your own research. But always remember that as an individual, at any time that you're investing, you need to know that at any investment you make, there's a risk that is attached to it. So yes, you can jump in with the risk. It's a high risk, high return rate if you're buying onto it today. But all the best. For Equity Group, stocks are still stable at about 52 shillings per share. That's 4.2% with a volume of 15,100 shares traded. I really think it's pretty much of a low volume to call the shots on for Equity, Ali, because about 15,000 shares traded, that's quite low for Equity. But on the order book, looks like there are a lot of guys who are also looking to just join the bandwagon, because Equity's demand is about 478,500. A stable demand is at 4980, and the supply is 155,800. So supply is really spread across. So it looks like guys are still hoarding. Yeah, pretty much interesting. In case you're wondering, yes, there's always hoarding of shares where whenever there's a high possibility or a high opportunity, then guys would actually hold on to the stocks. I would say holding, not hoarding. But yes, guys would wait on to that until, I would say the whales. Can we say whales? Okay, whales is in crypto. But yes, on the market as well, we also have guys who have large sums of or large quantities of these stocks.
Since it's Kenya, can we call them elephants?
Yeah, elephants. Oh my God, yeah. Oh, I think Najib Balala would be proud of you. He would. Yeah. So magical Kenya. So yeah, technically what we're looking at in this case is, looks like Equity would still continue to rally a bit, considering that the price is up already, but the bids still outweigh the supply on the market by about 280,000. So we'll be looking onto that, and then we'll probably give you guys updates on how the stock will be performing in mid-trading or during the trading period. So that's one thing. We'll definitely be keeping you guys updated. Ali, back to you on Safaricom. What's been happening with Safaricom and Ethiopia?
What has been happening? That's a good question.
Safaricom has been on the decline, guys, and it's a major concern, because Safaricom has had, I know we haven't talked on the entire market performance, but last week Safaricom was a major drop, or a major drag to the NSE benchmark indices. That's both on the well, share index, that also hit took a hit as well on the 25 and the 20 share indices. So we saw the whole market really just have a little bit of a decline. Safaricom has been on the drag because of the various concerns regarding the activity in Ethiopia, Ali, and it's coming in as I think as a huge concern, because first thing here is we've seen a lot of guys, and we've seen. Okay, it's been online, guys. Let's just say it's been online, where we're seeing a lot of activity or a lot of action happening in Ethiopia. And also, there's also news that came in last week that the DFC was yet to actually give Safaricom close to 500 billion.
It was around 54 billion.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's $500 million, right?
Yes, $500 million.
So that's about 54 billion Kenya shillings.
Yes. So,
yeah, and they're yet to issue that. And that was one of the things that Safaricom was actually looking at.
And I think mm-hmm. I'm happy you brought this up, because it kind of ties to what's happening in Ethiopia. Of course, we've seen rising, what I'd like to call, tensions. Mm-hmm. So the US DFC announced that it's actually going to delay the disbursement because of the uncertainty to the escalation of armed conflict in Ethiopia. And that's not the first hit Ethiopia is getting just in the last week. We also had Ethiopia was suspended from trading via the AGOA Act. So I think globally we've seen the big countries being more and more cautious with regards to their investments in Ethiopia. And given that most, or at least in my opinion, most investors were bullish about Safaricom's entry into Ethiopia, a little bit of a shakeup is expected to make guys either sell or shy away from the portfolio. But then again, it's Safaricom. Regardless what happened, it still takes up, what, 50% of the market?
More than
50.
Okay, guys, I know we've said this for a very long time, but Safaricom is like, it's dominant everywhere, you know. I know they've refused to accept that they're a monopoly, but can we say on the market they offer a lot in terms of direction because of the market cap that Safaricom has had on the entire exchange? Last week's trading activity alone, Safaricom had about 50.63% of the total market activity, and Safaricom was down 6%. So you guys can imagine that. About 6.07%. Safcom opened the week at 42 shillings and 80 cents and closed the week at 40 shillings and 20 cents. And that was one of the reasons, just one of the reasons is technically because of the Ethiopian bit. But also, guys, remember, as you're trading on Safaricom, please be aware that Safaricom is releasing their the half year results on 10th. So that's on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday, 7:30 a.m.
At 7:30 in the morning. So before you move on to that bit, I think you might just want to, you know, consider, because it might have good news, might have bad news. But then for me, from a personal opinion, I think one of the things you also have to consider is that for the past 2 years, Alien, one of the things that has really, really rallied Safaricom is because of the payment of a special dividend that Safaricom has put over the past few years, the past 2 years. And so that dividend aspect has been interesting. But also, guys, you have to be aware that because of the capital expenditure that Safaricom is probably holding and going to put into Ethiopia, there's a high possibility that we might not be getting those dividends. So if you're having those 100 shares like me, your small exposure and you're waiting for something, it might be a point where you might not get that. But let's also just wait and see on how this will roll out. You never know. I really don't know what's happening. I don't know the extent of what's happening in Ethiopia. I think Ethiopia is Africa's China. It's one of those countries where there's very little information that's coming out. There's a lot of misinterpretation of information that's coming out. Remember, Ethiopia has closed a lot of various embassies and consulates for various countries, mostly countries within the European Union that were actually talking actively. Countries like Norway, they were talking actively regarding the issue in Ethiopia, and they were told, hey, you know what? If you can't deal with this, then pack and go. It's a very sad bit. Remember Ali, when Abi took power, he was actually given the Nobel Peace Prize. Can you imagine?
Well, no, we have Nobel without the peace.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of, we've also seen Kenjin is also still deciding whether it wants to, or rather whether it's going to withdraw the Kenyan workers working on the geothermal was in Ethiopia, around 200 of them.
Yeah.
You think if this escalates, no, first of all, before we even touch Ethiopia, what are some of the things that you might be looking out for when it comes to Safaricom results that are coming up on Wednesday?
Definitely, I think we spoke about this a few weeks ago, guys, and I think the revenues are definitely going to jump.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're also, because most of this might actually be coming from various sectors. You know, we spoke about Safaricom's exposure on various sectors. First of all, it's increased its footprint within the data space,
mm-hmm.
the home fiber data space. And also we've seen a lot that the company has done, but the main challenge would really be on the mobile money side. Because remember, I think earlier this year, Safaricom did a review of the rates for M-Pesa. And though that review, Ali, did it really affect the upper guys, the upper transaction levels? Or it was more of a lower level? But let's see on just how that would affect onto the company. But I think it's going to be an interesting results for the company. The good thing would really be if Safcom would, you know, issue another special dividend, which, just as we've mentioned, it's going to be it's highly unlikely for the company to bring that back in.
I don't know, I think oftentimes when Safaricom releases their results, there's always something new that they pull, either on their results or in their anniversary. So I'm waiting to see what's that gonna be this year.
Let's see, guys. I think it will be interesting. Safcom will be turning 21 this year, right? Last year they were 20. with the 20 stuff. So yeah,
Pani Safaricom is forever 21.
It's a very interesting bit, guys. To give you guys on how the data for the market, I know we've touched on the company's bit for quite some time, and yes, it was a very interesting bit. We definitely had to start off with the companies. So yes, I know that's one thing that we have to look onto it. I wish KQ would be brought back onto the market. KQ recalled stuff last week, Ali. I think that was due to various actions. We've seen various countries reopen, and it's an interesting opportunity for the airline industry. We've seen shares for various airline industries globally. We've seen Boeing, we've seen American Airlines, we've seen Southwest Airlines, actually, you know, and even companies, other companies like we've seen Airbus, and also we've seen, yeah, I think technically Airbus, we've seen that. And so it's been an interesting opportunity for airline industries.
Mm-hmm.
This would have been a very interesting opportunity to have Safaricom jump, Kenya Airways, to jump back to the skies, you know, literally. And also with the various activities that are happening in Ethiopia, because earlier on last week, I think there was actually an issue, a bit of an alert on what would, on how safe the Ethiopian airspace is, considering that there's a lot of traffic that happens above the Ethiopian airspace. And that was a concern. So right now would have been I think it would be the best opportunity for KQ to pick back its glory, not only in terms of airlines or in terms of how many crew they have on board, but also bringing the company back to the stock market so that we can trade on it. There's been a little bit of, I think we've had a lot of activity as well from the government and also the lawmakers regarding Kenya Airways, but it looks like this is going to take way longer than we anticipated, because the initial transaction for KQ should have taken no more than 3 months. It's close to 1 year. Actually, I think it's way above 1 year right now since KQ was suspended from trading on the Nairobi Securities Exchange, and we'll just be looking onto that. I think another stock that really came up to me last week, Ali, the one thing that we're technically looking at is, for me, is Uchumi.
What are you looking?
Guys, so Uchumi has not released the financial results for the past 4 years. I really don't know what's up with the... I think this is now an issue with Kenya's Capital Markets Authority, to be honest, because I think that some of these companies, whenever we see companies having such issues, and yet you'd let investors continue to trade on them and not take any action on these companies, it's a huge concern. Uchumi is yet to release the financials for the past 4 years, guys. Can you imagine if you're investing in a company that is yet to trade, you don't even know the financial position of the company, not for one, not for two, but for 3 good years. So that's pretty much of a concern for guys. I think like Uchumi, okay, now the weird thing is that Uchumi has really taken up in terms of a volatility stock, because Uchumi is now up in today's trading session. With that news coming in on Friday, Uchumi is up about 4%. More in terms of volatility, Uchumi has 65,000 shares traded with a turnover of 14,484. We'll be looking on to Uchumi. We're definitely hoping that Capital Markets Authority would actually issue a statement regarding the performance of Uchumi, and probably take action on the directors of the company, because I think it's not only onto the company, but the directors as well. They have the management to report to them, and they need to actually ask on to this. We can't continue having companies that don't follow. A few years ago, we had East African Cables, and at least they tried to make a few things right. I remember East African Cables was releasing the half year results with the full year results at the same time. So pretty much the half year results for the current year and the full year for the previous year, you know, at the same time. But they've really, really done on a few things onto that. That was mainly due to the company's transactions by Transcentury.
Mm-hmm.
But now we'll technically be looking onto a company. Remember earlier on in the year, the Ugandan Securities Exchange actually suspended Uchumi Supermarkets from trading because they did not meet certain listing requirements on the USE. So can you imagine Uganda taking actions before Kenya on Uchumi, a Kenyan company? Come on, guys. We can be doing this with Uchumi. And I know that's one thing we'll definitely be following up. And once we get comments from CMA, we'll be sharing that with you guys. Back to how the overall market performed. Last week was an interesting bit for the week. I think it was a sad one for the local space, a good one for the global space. For the local markets, the benchmark indices were down. Just as we mentioned, this is because Safaricom, which technically has the highest weight, the highest market cap on the market. About 60% of the NSE's market cap is actually Safaricom. So that technically means whenever it's on a decline, then the entire market would most likely face a decline. So the all share index was down about seven points last week. That's an equivalent of about 3.9% to close the week at 170.94 basis points. The 20 share index was down as well, 0.64%. That's an equivalent of 12.46 basis points. And that was, the 20 share index closed the week at 1948.87 basis points. It's a very sad note that we had already touched. There's always a psychological level on the 20 share index, which is at about 2000 basis points. And now we're seeing this come back lower from levels where the stock was at, the index was trading at earlier on. The 25 share index was down as well, 2.44%. That's about 93.87 basis points that it shed last week to close the week at 3,851.67 basis points. The market cap for the NSE, because of the decline in various stocks, in various prices for the companies, the market cap was down 3.94% to 2.67 trillion. That is from 2.77 trillion that the company was actually, that the entire market was captured at the end of week 43. Yeah, because last week was week 44. Can you imagine? We actually have 8 weeks. Is it 8 weeks? No, 6 weeks?
Yeah, 8 weeks. To end of year.
Yeah, to the end of the 8 weeks.
52 minus 43. 44. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. We've actually started week 45. So
essentially the last week the Kenyan market was all red except for maybe an uptick in the turnovers. Sorry, in the volume.
Yeah,
the volume
literally was traded. Literally the market direction. On Monday the market was on the red, on Tuesday red, Wednesday. It's only on Thursday and Friday that the market really posted a little bit of, you know, increased activity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is backed by a rise in foreign
equity flow.
Yeah. The foreign activity that came in on that day. So yeah, that's one thing that I know we'll be looking at as well. We'll be watching that and just giving you guys a bit of the interest on how these things were, you know. It'd be interesting though to have onto this. And just one of the things that we always look at, guys, is the kind of activity that was happening, which stocks were the top movers and the top losers. For last week's, Ali, I think Cabasid was the top gainer last week, right?
Yes, Cabasid was the top gainer. I think it was up 13.48%, closing at the week at 13.05 shillings from 11 shillings 50 cents. And then we had Kenya Power. Kenya Power came in second. It rose 11.05%, closing the week at 1.91 shilling, up from 1.72 shilling. Then we had East African Cables, which was up 10.16%, closing the week at 1.41 shilling from 1.28 shilling. And then in IGADS and Sanlam were also up at 8.33% and 7.83% respectively.
Interesting, guys. Cabasid issued a special dividend, just in case you missed that out. That was definitely one of the main reasons why the stock was up during the week. Kenya Power came in and gave you guys, actually, the week earlier on Friday, so Kenya Power gave impressive performance. KPLC was back onto the positive side. And on Monday, when we were talking about KPLC, we were optimistic that the share price would rally. KPLC was up generally, guys, to give you guys the real figures, KPLC had jumped as high as 30%, but then correction happened, I think, almost immediately, and KPLC closed the week at 11% higher. So that's about 11.05%. We'll still continue watching or monitoring on just how KPLC would perform during the entire trading session, as we also wait for the full year results that is next year. So yes, over the next few months, we'll technically be watching on KPLC and just give you guys on how the stock has been performing. To give you guys more numbers on Kenya Power, it's a very interesting bit. We've jumped from NBV when we used to watch NBV and now we're here watching Kenya Power. So yes, Kenya Power has been, last week, KPLC closed with a share price of 1.71 shillings. And so, a bit interesting, KPLC has gained 11.7% in terms of price valuation. KPLC currently ranks at 14th in the NSE in terms of year-to-date performance. And so, pretty much interesting, KPLC has jumped from being about the, I think about the, as at about 2 weeks ago, KPLC was, I think, trading at about number 26 in terms of year-to-date performance on the NSE. And now we're here, it's back, it's up at 14. For 1 week, KPLC has given shareholders a return of about 11.1%. 4 weeks, KPLC is up 7.3%. 3 months, if you had KPLC in your portfolio 3 months ago, it's up about 38.4%. And if you had KPLC at the beginning of the year, it should be up on your portfolio 11.7%. So yes, that's one thing, Ali, that also reminds me that investors should never really think about opportunities as, you know, as time bound, where if you're holding your stock for a very long time, then you're likely to make returns. Guys who bought into this stock 1 year ago, your portfolio is still the lowest in terms of KPLC's performance if you're looking at it over the past 1 year. Because guys who had this stock exactly 1 year ago, the portfolio is only up by 7%. But guys who had this stock 3 months ago, 38%. Pretty much interesting for KPLC shareholders. But I know that's one thing we'll technically be watching at, and we'll keep you guys updated. KenGen, which is, I wouldn't call it KPLC's sister company because they don't operate within the same environment, but KenGen, which is KPLC's supplier, is currently 37th on the NSE in terms of year-to-date performance. So KPLC, if you're looking onto the chart, KPLC is performing, is giving better returns than KenGen. So unlike what people think, KenGen's 1 week results is 0.21. That's on the red. So that's a loss of 0.21%. The 4 week is 2.5%. The 3 month performance for KenGen is, however, on the green, up at about 12.8%. The 6 month is at about 14.4% on the green. If you had KPLC, if you had KenGen at the beginning of the year, then your portfolio is down 0.64%. So literally, we're seeing KenGen really having a bit of, you know, I'd call it more of a flat activity. Still not really much of a loss and not much of a gain as well, apart from the 6 month performance for KenGen, which is at about 14.4%. Ali, back to you.
I think something that really caught my attention is on the loser side. Mm-hmm. And just to give you a tip of the iceberg, Limuru Tea is one of the company that shared the most in the NSE. It was down 9.09% from 330 shillings in the beginning of the week to 300 shillings at the end of the week. BK Group lost 8.62%, closing at 26 shillings 50 cents, down from 29 shillings. And that's where my question is, what's happening with BK Group? We saw that they posted quite positive results. BK Group had what? BK Group had had a rise in
about 33% year on year in for the company's net income.
Yeah.
I think for BK Group, one of the things that guys do for the local markets, guys would always look at companies from a lot of aspects, you know. BK Group has been on the offensive. I think BK Group is solid, Ali.
Right.
But if you look at these earnings and compare them to local banks, and it's also because of the size of BK's, geographical position, you know.
Just say random.
Yeah. If Yeah, I think when we look at this from that level, if you look at like an example is BK Group posted about $36.6 million in terms of returns. Mm-hmm. That's the net income for the company. And then if you look at this as well, first is they didn't declare dividend. They did not.
Then also they had a crazy jump in provisions.
Yeah, exactly.
41%.
Yeah, but the good thing for BK, I think BK's balance sheet has really been on a positive side. Because first of all, we saw the total assets were up about 28.5%. The client balances and deposits were also up about 19.9% year on year. I really think that we're seeing a lot in terms of BK's position. But it's really more, there are a lot of stuff that would also affect. Remember, BK has been one of those companies that have been really, really rallying on the NSE. BK has been on the offensive and also with engaging a lot in terms of shareholder activation, education, but it's also about what investors were expecting. I think a lot of people expected more in terms of returns from the company than what they posted, but that really shouldn't be a reason. BK is solid. Most likely these are people who are booking out their returns for the week. So really much of an interesting bit for BK. So guys, in case you've bought into BK, don't be afraid. Last week's activities were most likely on the sell side. The volumes were pretty low, because most of the days BK didn't trade. The whole of last week, BK actually only had about 3,000 shares trading on the entire market. So still pretty much low, because on Monday, on Wednesday and Thursday, BK didn't trade. But on Tuesday, BK had 2,200 shares. And also on Friday, when 800 shares were traded on the market. So I still really think this is much of a low line activity. Still nothing to, at least for me, I don't think that would be something to be alarmed of as an investor or as a shareholder. But you can always book your returns, you know. One of the things that you need to understand when you're investing is that unless you sell or unless you exit, all these technically can hold up as unrealized gains. So an example is if your portfolio is up 100%, that is unrealized gain until the point when you sell. When you decide to sell, that's when you can actually call that as a realized gain. But before that happens, all this is technically an unrealized gain for you as an investor and for everyone else who's yet to make that trade. So it also happens on the downside, guys. So don't only worry about the unrealized gain and the unrealized sale. It's always about you as an investor, short term, long term. How is this really happening? How is it affecting your portfolio? All of it, when it's on the loss, it's unrealized loss. When it's on the gain, it's also an unrealized gain for you as an investor on the exchange. So pretty much that's one thing. Now, away from that, I think away from the local space, the local market has really been, I think it's been an interesting way for various investors, you know, to jump in, look at the opportunities that they probably want to, you know, invest at. To give you guys how the market is performing right now as we close on to the local space, and then we jump into the global market space. We've seen housing finance is still holding spot as the top gainer. Uchumi and Equity are following with about 4.5 and 4.2% respectively. On the loser side, guys, it's not good for shareholders for Nairobi Business Ventures, because looks like your favorite company has actually jumped from being one of the top performers on the NSE to actually NBV has now turned, at least for the price, NBV seems not to be doing good for investors. So to give you guys the numbers, I know we've talked about this. We've talked about NBV, I think, for a very long time. NBV has come from being the top performing company on the Nairobi Securities Exchange. And right now, NBV ranks at 10th on the Nairobi Securities Exchange. In terms of year-to-date performance, NBV is up a marginal 16.4%. That is from about 1,000% that the company was at, if you were looking onto this about 2 months ago. In terms of one-year returns for the company, NBV as at now is at 666% in terms of one-year returns. So if you had NBV on your portfolio exactly 1 year ago, the six-month return, which was at some point one of the highest closing about 300% is now down, is now up just 14%. But if you look at NBV over the past few weeks, the 3 month, the 4 week, and the 1 week performance for NBV are all down. NBV is currently down. On the 3 month performance, NBV is down 23%. The 4 week performance, NBV is down 27.8%. And in case you are a shareholder in the company, please be aware that NBV has actually dropped today about 6.22%. East African Cables, which was one of the gainers in last week's trading session, is down as well 4.26%. Britam Holdings, which has said that they're looking at selling about 42.8%. A stake of the 42.8% holdings in HF Group is down as well about 4%. And interestingly, Nation Media Group is not missing on that list. NMG is down as well 2.55%. So that's technically it for the local market space. It's been an interesting session, guys, for the local market space. For the global market space, there's really been nothing interesting apart from last week, where there were a lot of earnings that really came in from major companies. Ali, we saw companies like Uber. Did you know Uber could post profit?
Did I know that they could? Yes.
Did you believe they could?
I mean, eventually, I liked what they were doing.
Yeah, I think at the listing, it was very interesting. Uber CEO had mentioned during the listing, when they were listing, I think 2 years ago, and he said, the outlook is not for profit for the long term, for the short term. It looks like 2 years later, we're here with profits.
Yeah, but see, Uber was more of a, I haven't looked at the numbers, first of all. But top of my head, I would be positive for its and delivery numbers. Hold on.
To give you guys just how this was for Uber, sorry, Uber's results were pretty much interesting. First of all, it's a pandemic period, guys. We've really had a bit of a decline because we've seen a lot of restrictions early that came in through. But we saw gross bookings for Uber were up 57% year on year to about $23.1 billion. And looks like we're seeing a lot in terms of, because Ali, you know, 57% growth year on year in a pandemic period is not something that I think we would book as an easy figure for Uber.
Is that when you say gross bookings, is that both for mobility and delivery?
That's the mobility gross bookings.
Right.
Yeah, so the trips during the quarter, guys, in case you're wondering, Uber is doing 18 million trips on average per day. Ali. Anyway, and there's still room for growth for that. They're actually saying this is during a pandemic period. So Uber can do, I think Uber is looking at doing probably about highs of about 100 million trips a day if things were normal, right? Come on, because 18 million trips a day, guys, I think this is something that's interesting. Trips during the quarter, that is for the quarter, was up about 39% year on year.
Mm-hmm.
And revenue for the company was up 72% to $4.8 billion.
But then there's something that stood out for me, which was the net loss attributed to Uber Technologies was $2.4 billion, up from $2 billion. What do you think could have been the story behind that?
Uber literally said that the net loss actually included a pre-tax that was done from revaluations of Uber's equity investment. I think that is from the company that they have in China. What's the company that Uber actually bought in China? I'm trying to recall the name. There's a Chinese company that Uber had actually bought some stake in. There's the ride-hailing app that
was it. I think Didi yeah. acquired Uber China, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. What else happened globally? What was it?
Oh,
Airbnb?
Talking about China, guys, a few weeks ago we saw Microsoft LinkedIn. LinkedIn is owned by Microsoft, guys. So Microsoft's LinkedIn actually said that they were exiting China. And looks like Yahoo has also come in and said that they're also exiting China. Actually, Yahoo has exited China. So it's not about them exiting, but Yahoo has actually exited China because of a new law that came into force on 1st of November. So from 1st of November, it looks like guys at mainland China were not able to access Yahoo Mail. So looks like it's only guys in Hong Kong who can actually be able to access Yahoo for now.
Did they want and to access Yahoo Mail?
Temporary. I don't know if they want. So in case you're wondering how the tech in China really operates, guys, it's been a bit of a challenging aspect from what we've seen over time, Ali.
Mm-hmm.
Companies like Facebook actually have the Hong Kong server. And what Hong Kong server does is they would redirect your queries. And so they have to go through the server. If you're looking for words that are considered as anti-government or things that can actually lead to what Chinese term as civil disobedience, then those search options would be filtered so they don't come onto you. You see, like an example is you can Google like what is the government doing? And with you mentioning the government, then it would be filtered so that you don't see anything that relates to what the government is doing.
So that's
if there's an unrest somewhere, let's say you wanted to Google what's happening with the unrest with schools, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you Google that, and then what it'd show you rather is kids laughing. So literally that's how this has been for China. It's more of the government is trying to filter as much content as they can and just have a grasp on what the citizens are looking at. Looks scary. What are they worried about? And even with that alone, we've had a lot of guys even complain about the censorship in China.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier yesterday, I think there was actually a report that China might be covering heavily on the real estate sector for China, because there's very little information. The information that is coming out, it's only what the government would technically want us to, you know, the government of China would want the outside world to hear. But guys are actually saying the Chinese government is actually covering a lot in terms of what is happening in the real estate sector. Remember earlier on, Chinese Evergrande had missed the interest payments. They did that. They actually said they did that, China Evergrande. And investors have actually said, there are a lot of investors from various the offshore investors in China have claimed that they haven't received their payments. Some have said they haven't. Some have said they have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not only Evergrande that has been on the issue, guys. In case you're wondering, last week another Chinese company, the third largest Chinese property developer, that's Kaisa Holdings, actually said that they would not be able to, you know, make the payments to the offshore bondholders. So looks like this is going to be a roller coaster for the Chinese real estate. And the main reason why this is a concern, in case you're also wondering, guys, is we're looking at China, and then we're also comparing this to what has happened historically with the real estate sector. Looking at this from the subprime mortgage crisis in 2008, and just how this could be, because remember that the Chinese real estate sector is worth about $5 trillion. That's close to Japan's GDP is actually China's real estate sector. So you guys can imagine what that would be. Remember, if you compare this to what the exposure that other companies like Lehman Brothers actually had on the real estate sector before the collapse of the subprime mortgage in 2008, this is like a pin drop, Ali, from levels about 300 billion to levels of 5 trillion. That's huge. Yeah, but it's huge, and it's concrete heavy. So just in case the guys in pretty much interesting, guys. I think that would really be it for the week on how the major indices globally performed. The Dow Jones was up about 1.4%. The S&P 500 index was up as well 2%, and the Nasdaq 100, the Nasdaq Composite Index, not the 100.
Nasdaq 100.
Yeah, was up as well 3.1% for the week. What I'm technically watching this week would be PayPal. There's been a lot of news regarding PayPal, and just it would be interesting just to see what the company has to say. There's been various acquisitions that they've apparently been talked about, including the one for Pinterest, which they denied that they're not interested in pictures. So it would be interesting just to see onto how this would work for the payment service provider.
PayPal is releasing their results today, yes?
Yeah.
And that's after close. So it's AMC.
Mm-hmm. Guys, AMC. For all the guys who invested during the Robin Hood craze for AMC, it would be an interesting bit as well. And I'm seeing earlier today, Sterling Capital has issued various investment recommendations. We're seeing Sterling Capital giving... So just back again on the local space. We're done with the global markets, guys. Giving you guys just some piece of information that has come into my desk right now is Sterling Capital has issued a hold recommendation for Safaricom Equity and Cooperative Bank and a buy recommendation for KCB, Absa, and Standard Chartered Bank. I'd love to know your thoughts. I'd love to know what you think about this. So we're definitely going to start a conversation on Hisa App Ali, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just to see on what guys think, if this is something to look into. Remember, two weeks ago, AIB Axis Investment Bank actually issued a sell recommendation on Safaricom. So that's one thing we'll definitely be looking at. So that's it, guys. Any last words, Ali, for guests in this?
Stay tuned. Make sure, first of all, make sure you've read and subscribed to our newsletter. If you want to get more insight to what's happening with Yahoo, what happened with Airbnb last week.
Oh, and also the Squid Game coin. We talked about that last week, right?
We did. So first of all, listen to We Are Curious if you want to get an intro, and then definitely dive into our Hisa newsletter on Substack to understand that. And definitely, I know something that is likely to be covered in this week. This week's newsletter is Coinbase results, which are coming out tomorrow, especially now that Coinbase is going to the NFT space.
Yeah.
I don't know. The rest is wait and see. But companies that I'm watching out for globally this week is Coinbase, of course, Beyond Meat, Wix, and then AstraZeneca.
I'm personally watching on the local space. I'm looking at Safaricom. Safaricom results are coming through on Wednesday. We'll definitely be keeping you guys posted onto that, and any other information that comes through. The market is always dynamic. Nothing is cast on stone. There's a lot that can happen within a week. So that's it for us here, guys. In case you're wondering, if you joined in late, you can get this podcast later on within the next few hours. It will be up on the Hisa app. So in case you're yet to join the Hisa crew, please download Hisa app. It's interesting. You'll be able to watch and also get a lot in terms of data for you, just as you view onto the market. Nothing much for me. And I believe that's it for us. Thank you guys for joining in. It was an awesome session having you guys on board. See you guys again next week on Monday as we discuss more on Markets Monday. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.